You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Amen. Do you have your summer vacations planned yet? Whether it's a trip to Disney or going camping, whether it's going up north to the cottage or to your timeshare in Hawaii, this is the time of year when that itch really starts to hit. That persistent voice that keeps calling in the back of your mind, it's time for you to get away and get some R&R, some rest and relaxation. And let's face it, it's not too hard to convince us to do that, right? And so we go off on our vacations convinced that rest from the stress of work or school or the hectic rat race of life is just a vacay away. But do you know what I rarely feel when I get back from vacation? Well rested. Because while you're on vacation, you're trying to pack as much fun as possible into every waking second that you have, leaving very little time for rest. And on the vacation, you're constantly fretting and worrying of, do you have everything that you need? Do you have everyone that you need? And that tends to leave our hearts and minds feeling a little bit restless. Let's be honest, it's usually the mom that has those problems, right? And then when you get home, then you have to deal with the lawn that needs to be mowed and the mountain of emails that are piled up in your inbox, not to mention that the stressors that you left behind are all waiting right there, waving to you and saying, hey, remember me. See, oftentimes, coming back from vacation doesn't leave us feeling very rested, does it? In fact, it's not that uncommon to hear a person post-vacation saying something like, I need a vacation after that vacation. And so if even the most eagerly anticipated getaways of our year still leave us feeling like we could use some more R&R, then what can give us the kind of lasting rest that we desire? Well, God's word works. God's word works when we're in need of some R&R. Not just to give us some temporary rest for our bodies, but to give us lasting rest for our souls. And so today we hear God telling us to keep the Sabbath day holy, because he knows that through it, he can give us the kind of R&R that we really need, to rest and to remember. But first, it's important for us to make sure we understand what a Sabbath day really is. God's third commandment says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Mirroring the 6 days of creation and then the seventh day on which God rested after creating, God commands his people, the Israelites, 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, so that they may rest as you do. Clearly, God wanted to give his people the opportunity to rest. That's what that word Sabbath means, rest. And so God commands the Israelites that every Saturday they are to set that day aside for physical rest for their bodies, but more importantly, spiritual rest for their souls, by devoting that time to worshiping God and meditating on his word. And on one particular Sabbath day that we see in our sermon text, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field. And when some of them get hungry, they start picking some of the heads of grain and eating them, which to us seems like a relatively innocent action, right? But we hear that right there are the Pharisees, with an accusing finger at Jesus and the disciples saying, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? According to the Sabbath laws, harvesting grain was outlawed because it was work. And although it's a very far stretch of the imagination to say what Jesus and his disciples are doing is harvesting grain, the Pharisees were desperate to find something to pin on Jesus. Something to say, look, He's breaking the law. Look, he's not who you think he is. And so right there, they're there to accuse. They're breaking God's Sabbath laws. Now, the Pharisees are basically obsessed with keeping the Sabbath, so much so that they piled up a mountain of man-made laws and regulations to go along with God's simple command to make sure you get that time for spiritual rest and renewal. And in doing so, the Pharisees really lost sight of what God's purpose in the Sabbath was. See, rather than a day for spiritual rest and renewal, the Pharisees turned it around and made it a self-righteous work. And in viewing the Sabbath as a work, they also muddled who the Sabbath was really for. See, in their minds, if they strictly adhered to these laws that they came up with on the Sabbath, then they were getting on God's good side. By doing these things, they were therefore earning God's favor. And so Jesus is quick to point out to them that the Sabbath was not something that God needed for people to do for him. The Sabbath was something that God was graciously giving to his people so that they could have spiritual rest and physical rest for their bodies and their souls. And so we hear him telling the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, God didn't need these people's worship, but these people desperately needed the kind of spiritual rest that God alone could give to them. So, 2,000 years later, what does any of this have to do with us? And certainly, God doesn't require us to keep those same kind of Sabbath laws and regulations that the Israelites had to. As we heard Paul say in the epistle reading from Colossians, do not let anyone judge you about a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. One reason that God instituted the Sabbath was so that his people could focus their attention and their faith forward, to be reminded of the Savior that God promised to send. And so when Christ comes, he comes as the ultimate fulfillment of that Sabbath day, by winning for people eternal spiritual rest through the forgiveness of sins. And that means for us today, we're no longer tied to those same Sabbath laws and regulations. We can do work on a Saturday. We can come to worship on a Sunday. But that doesn't mean that the third commandment doesn't apply to us anymore. God still wants us to put the same principles into practice. He still commands us as Christians to take time devoted to worshiping him and meditating and studying his word. Because he knows that through those things, he can give to us lasting spiritual rest. But let's be honest. Do we ever think about worship and Bible study in the same way that the Pharisees were? Do we look at those things like they're a way for us to earn God's favor? Now, maybe we would never outwardly say that, but we have to admit that thought tends to subtly creep into our minds and our actions at times. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know what? I don't need to go to church this weekend. I was there last weekend. Have you ever said to yourself, you know, I don't really need to go to Bible study or to Sunday school because, well, we were at church and the kids go to the school, so do we really have to? And if viewing worship and Bible study in that way, what does it make it? It makes it a task, something that we need to accomplish and check off the list so that we can placate God for a time. As long as we do sort of the base minimum, then God will be pleased and we can just continue on with our lives. Or do we view it as sort of our end of the bargain that then allows God to continue taking care of us, right? We do this for God and then he'll do that for us. See, the problem in that is we fail to realize that worship and study is not something that we're doing for God. It's something that God is doing for us. See, God doesn't need our worship, but we certainly need to worship God. It'd be a bit like a sick patient thinking that he's the one that's benefiting the doctor who's prescribing to him the medication that he needs to be well. See, work, it doesn't give rest. works just make rest that much more necessary. And so if our lives are filled with thoughts and actions that are self-righteous, we leave ourselves no time for actual spiritual rest. And if we're constantly fretting and worrying about whether we have done enough to placate and please God, then our hearts and minds are left very restless. And even if we feel like we've done a great job of checking a lot of things off the list, the fact is our guilt of our sin and our failure is still right there waiting for us, saying, "Hey, remember me?" You see, if we make worship and study a work, then we lose sight of God's purpose in giving those things to us. And ultimately, we lose out on the spiritual gift that God intends to give us through those things: lasting spiritual rest. And let's face it, we need that rest. After a long, stressful week at work or at home or at school, after a long, stressful week of sin and failure, we need to have our sins forgiven. We need to have our faith restored and re-strengthened. We need to have our rest resupplied by God's mighty word. Look at it this way. When your company that you work for gives you paid vacation time, do you go on that vacation so that you can please your boss? Do you go on that vacation time so that you can check another task off the list? Of course not, right? You go on that vacation not to please your boss, but because it benefits you. Because it's a gracious gift that's been given to you to use to the fullest. And so we don't look at our vacations as a task to accomplish or something we do to please the boss. No, it's a gift that we want to use to the absolute fullest. And so in the same way, worshiping our God and studying his word is not a task to check off the to-do list. It's a gift that God has given to us to use to the fullest, because through it, we find lasting spiritual rest. Now, that's not to say that just because you come and sit in the pew or go to a Bible class that all the problems in your life are just going to magically disappear. Right? We don't sit in the pews and then go home with a suddenly perfect life. So how does God go about giving us that spiritual rest that he promises? Largely, our culture thinks we find rest through forgetting about the problems, by trying to escape from the problems and the worries of life. And so we go on our vacations to get away from it all. We go to sleep for a brief respite from our worries. People get drunk or high so that they can dull the pain and try and forget about the bad. But those things can't give us lasting rest, because all of them come to an end, and all of them leave us snapped back to reality where work and school and pain and problems and the hectic nature of life are still very much a reality. Now, unsurprisingly, God's solution to give us lasting rest is very countercultural. God gives us lasting spiritual rest not by forgetting, but by remembering. As Moses relays the information to God's people, he tells them, "Remember. Remember that you were slaves, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there, out of Egypt, with a mighty hand." God tells us to remember. And finding true spiritual rest is found in remembering the promises that God has made to us. So being in worship or study, yeah, it's not going to magically make all of your problems disappear. But when we're reminded of the promises that God has made to us, then we're equipped to face those problems or those worries or those fears that don't disappear. And how do we remember? By being constantly reminded of the promises God makes to us in his word. So maybe you're feeling unloved or you're dealing with a broken heart today. Remember God's promise. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Maybe you're mourning the death of someone that you love today. Remember God's promise. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Maybe you're stressed out over some family problem today. Remember God's promise. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Maybe you're worried about what your future holds today. Remember God's promise. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Maybe you're worried about your health or the health of someone that you love today. Remember God's promise. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. See, God gives us spiritual rest by helping us to remember his goodness and his mercy, his power and his love, his promises and his faithfulness. You see, God also wanted the Israelites to remember their slavery, to remember the time when they were slaves in Egypt, because by remembering that, it helped them to remember how God set them free from their slavery, how he brought them out with his powerful grace and his mighty hands. And just like we talked about last week, we need to remember that we were slaves too. Slaves to sin and death and hell. We were unworthy sinners who cannot stand in the presence of the holy God. But as we remember those things, we also remember how our God set us free from our slavery. How he brought us up out of that slavery, at first not with mighty hands, but with hands that were pierced. Pierced with nails as he hung on the cross to suffer the death and hell that we deserve. But hands that would become mighty as he rose triumphant from the grave. And you see, that's what God's purpose in commanding the Sabbath really was. To help people focus our faith and our attention on the one who was to come. The one who would come and be the ultimate fulfillment of the Sabbath day by giving us lasting, eternal, spiritual rest, by forgiving our sins and giving us the promise of eternal life in heaven. He was the ultimate fulfillment of the Sabbath. And that's why Jesus can say, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And that's why we can remember and take to heart the words that he promises to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, we're all in need of some R&R, aren't we? We all need to rest. We all need to remember. And if we need those things, and practically speaking, we need to make sure that those things are built into our schedules and our plans. Even more than you plan your summer around your vacations, plan your summer around the opportunities God gives you to be in his house. The opportunities that God gives to us to be filled with spiritual rest and peace. So this summer, prioritize worship. Prioritize studying God's word. Prioritize family devotions together or devotions as an individual. Prioritize those opportunities for spiritual rest. And yes, enjoy your vacation time. It's a good thing. It's a blessing from God that we can get away and enjoy time together as a family and relax. But as we do so, remember the only R&R that really gives us lasting spiritual rest. So if you're going to be gone for a weekend, make use of Saturday and Monday night services. Make use of the sermon videos that are posted on Facebook and the website. But throughout it all, remember that we need to R&R, to rest and remember. But keep in mind that God in his grace and mercy has given us the opportunity to go on that vacation every single second of every single day, because God's word works. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which